sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living.
Will you?
For
you sing it unto him now.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen. Amen. Is that your desire?
Amen.
Be a sanctuary for the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scripture, turn to Daniel 9:24. Daniel 9:24, and we had decided our last Sunday to just pull back from the title of the 70 weeks of Daniel, but I talked with Brother Joseph, and we're just going to let this continue on because it's still on the same series, but it's what's applying to us, you know. So actually then you can title last Sunday as the Finish the Transgression would be number 13, and this is number 14, to make an end of sin. So then we're trying to speak on what is related to the bride of Jesus Christ, and, you know, and doing it that way. So just remember that. Remember, the fellowship meeting will be here this coming Saturday, 3:30. Brother Tom Corshane will be preaching for us, and just remember that. Now, I know you've done went through these, but remember, Peggy will be going for some tests in the morning, and about 9 o'clock, Brother Al's going for surgery on his tunnel, what do you ever call it, on your hand, nerve part, at somewhere around 8 or 8:30. So remember that. Brother Ray Gabriel called and said that he would also be going Friday for some more tests and everything to see how everything is about, you know, the colonoscopy or whatever, however how you pronounce that big old word, and you know, to where to restore what they're getting ready to do and everything. So just remember that. I also talked to Brother Harris just a moment ago, and he said Sister Harris had to go back to the doctor, I believe, tomorrow and everything, but she was doing pretty good. I talked with her, when was it, yesterday, that we called and talked with her anyhow, and she said she was doing better. So just keep praying for all of these. I know that all this sickness among us and everything, but also the healer is among us, you know, so we believe it. You know, and we thank the Lord for it. Also, now I'm going to make an announcement that we had made. I was contacted by Brother Tony Abner from Brother Biscoe's to set up a meeting over the Easter weekend, and for Brother Biscoe, and you know, to come down where we could have like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so I went ahead and, you know, paid a down payment on the building, which we may lose the $800 and something I had to put a down payment for the meeting, but I got a notice today that they were not going to be able to make the meeting, so then that will be canceled in that part. But I am going to announce this way. We are going to have an Easter weekend meeting here to church on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you can make your plans now, you know, for whatever, and we will be doing that. We'll be getting somebody to speak for us, but they chose not to come at this time to have the meeting, so that's fine. That's up to them. But we just appreciate the Lord and all he's doing. Maybe the college will be gracious to give us some of the money back or whatever, but they contacted me, and I thought everything was set for the weekend that time. So I went ahead and, you know, rented the building. But we don't need the building because, you know, we wouldn't have a big enough crowd. We'll just do everything here. So we'll just pray about it. Daniel 9:24. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that you've given us an opportunity to be able, Lord, to just read your word. Because as your prophet said, we don't even have a right, you said it, to even open the pages, even to look on your word. Because your word is precious and holy and glorious. And we're just human mortals. But yet we ask your permission to be able to read. And Lord, we should never, as the prophet said, read the Bible until we ask you to speak to our hearts and show us what it's saying, because it's not a newspaper that's just telling something that we don't know for sure where it's right. But it is the eternal Word of God. It is God in letter form, and we thank you for it. And we pray now that you would just come and speak to our hearts as we try to speak about you. Forgive our sins. Reach down and touch each one of these that are sick. We know that Satan, we announced it before. We didn't announce it before when we preached years ago, and you come down and healed the people. And then we told them. This time we told them ahead of time. And we just told them what you said, that you are the healer and that we are all healed. And we believe you. And we believe still all of these that are sick, that it will come forth for your honor and glory, because we've challenged the devil upon the basis of your word, taking it and believing for the healing and the deliverance of the people. And we pray that you would just make that manifest now, because we cannot do it. It's all left in your hands. Forgive our sins and cover us by thy blood and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll read the 24th verse, because we'll be dealing in this until we finish this part of the series. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as I said, we spoke on these things, you know, talking of the things of the sixfold purpose. And it was the sixfold purpose of that Gabriel came to Daniel to show Daniel, you know, the journey of Israel and the time of Israel and how long it would be. But he showed him that there would be a time come when God would reveal to Israel that their transgressions are gone. That he'd reveal to them their sin is finished. You know. And he would reveal to them that there'd be a reconciliation for iniquity. No. Alright. And then how he would seal up the vision and the prophecy. And then he would anoint the most holy. Alright. So then that's what we call the sixfold purpose. And the prophet said it was a sixfold purpose of his coming, because see, he could come down and told him the dates and the times and the things through, just speaking to him and saying, you know, there'll be X amount of time, X amount of, but not only that, he showed him what would take place in how that God would come on the scene to do these things. All right. Then we preached our last Sunday afternoon about the point was to try to get us to, my point is to try to get us to see what we have to do in the Word of God. Because I preached a message Sunday morning, I believe it was, and in that one I said, we are the keystone of the whole entire Bible. I believe that. I believe the children of the living God. I believe the bride of Jesus Christ is the keystone of all things. She's holding everything together. She's holding off the wrath of God from the world, you know, because she's here. She's doing these things, and then, you know, she is the very thing that was spoken of throughout the Bible. The end of anything, you see a movie and it gets down to the end of the movie and it says, the end. Well, most of the time, right at that point, something is brought upon the screen, like John and Mary lived happily ever after, you know. Are you in a Western, you see maybe John Wayne and his girlfriend riding off down, you know. See, because that's the end of it. In other words, that's the completion of what was started. All right? That's the thing that was to be brought forth. You know. But, just like in the movie, it would be something to go to a movie house, like I said, and see John Wayne ride off with some woman's hand holding and them riding off on horses, and then there the end of it comes up, and, you know, then they throw you out of the movie theater, you know, and say, well, it's done. Well, no, you want to know the story. Like the prophet said, when you read John and Mary lived happily ever after, he said, I like to know the story about John and Mary and what happened. Well, see, that's what you and I have the ability to do. The secret things, sure, belong unto God, the Bible says. But those things that are revealed unto His children. Alright. See, then our entire Bible is revealed to you and me. We're in the middle of it. And the Bible is not written to us. It's written to Israel. But yet in the writing of the story of Israel comes the beautiful story of the bride of Christ. That she is the keystone of everything. She is what God come to do, what He's doing. See, then we can look back and see what happens to Israel and look and see what's happening to you and I, because it has exactly that meaning to it. You know, there's differences in. Sure, we're not going through the tribulation and Israel will. We know those things. But see, in the types and the shadows, what happened to Israel has got a meaning to you and I. So we studied about how that, you know, that God would come to Israel in the tribulation after the rapture. He will reveal Himself to Israel. And that coming to Israel is to turn away their transgressions. Now watch the way I said it. You know, Sunday. It's really not to turn away their transgressions. It's to reveal to them that their transgressions have already been paid for. It's not coming to do something. He's not coming to Israel to die again. He's coming to Israel to reveal the original atonement that was made at Calvary. All right. See, then that's why that I've said so much about people saying, you know, of the last part of Isaiah, you know, and the judgment message. Well, what is God going to do to Israel? He's going to have to tell Israel about us. He's going to have to tell Israel about how they rejected the Messiah. Well, won't that be the same thing that He stood back there and told them? Didn't He tell them then they would turn Him down, they would kill Him, and that the Gentiles would come in? All right. See, it's not a, as I said in Leviticus there, where you got a mourning for the killed. All right, that's the atonement. But then a chapter or two later you got, or a little while later you got another mourning, but it's not another killing. It's a mourning for the original kill, or, in other words, revealing the original. That's where Moses messed up, see, smiting the rock the second time. He was supposed to speak of the atonement, but he didn't. He smote it, and that messed up everything, and he put it to where that in the end times, the denominations would crucify him again, and put him to an open shame. But the bride doesn't crucify him. The bride accepts the atonement. And by doing that, then we can stand there and know, as Israel and their transgressions would be gone, you know, that our transgressions would be gone. All right. Now I'm going to state this every service for no telling how many I'll do, because I want to make sure you get it, and then I'll go back and preach the part of it. God didn't come to Israel, as I said, to die again. He came to Israel to reveal to them, you know, through Daniel, and, you know, through Gabriel to Daniel, and then the two witnesses will be who will bring it over here, but He's showing that what He's already done. Now, when He came to Israel, or comes to Israel in the tribulation after we're gone, to make sure everybody follows me, He, as I said, won't come to die. He'll come to reveal He's already done it. Now, didn't the prophet say that what God does is what? He first does it, then He reveals it, Then he makes it manifest. Huh? Now, so it's already done. It was done at Calvary. The redemption of Israel was done at Calvary. All redemption was done at Calvary. Huh? But then it wasn't revealed to Israel, was it? That right now it wasn't revealed to Israel back there. Huh? So then he couldn't make it manifest. But it was revealed to the church, the bride. It was revealed to the bride what the atonement was. Alright? Alright? So now he can make that manifest because he's already done it. God is not coming to you and I to whitewash our sins. He's really coming to show us there is no sin. He's coming to show us there is nothing against us. If we just realize it. Yes, but Brother Dale, I do so much. Would you mind me preaching about 4 hours on how dirty Israel has been? You know that they rejected Jesus Christ and said, let his blood be on us. You know that they turned against him. You know they have probably killed Christians themselves that claim to be Christians. Stephen and them? But you know, after all that's said and done, God is going to wink at the ignorance of those people, and even there's a fifth sealed Jew that will be given eternal life. But not only that, there'll be 144,000 to receive eternal life on this earth by the new birth when we leave out of here. But it won't make them sons and daughters of the living God. That's the bride. It'll make them servants, but they do receive eternal life here. Why? Because they will accept the atonement of Calvary. See, then truly we can see it. See, I got to preaching on that, and I thought, well, Lord, you know, let's just turn over to something. Turn to Psalms. Because we read it there in Romans. But blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. But let's read it from Psalms 32. Look what it says. Blessed is the man, over in Romans. Right? But listen. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Then it says, whose sin is covered. Then he says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is the man, Romans says, that God won't impute sin. The prophet said, how can he impute sin over the token? That was the token in Dallas. Preached in 63 or 64 there in Dallas. I gave you some quotes on how that he would not impute that, because now we know what it means. We're not arguing over there in John where it says, he will not commit sin. Well, commit means this and this means that, and we meant this and that done this and that done. Now we find out it's not even record kept. We found out in that message that there has not been any sin since Calvary. Everybody in the world is covered by the bumper blood. Do you believe your prophet? Then God hadn't imputed sin to anybody. He said, well, one of these days. Why? Because when you stand at the white throne judgment, you don't have something inside of you. You don't have inside of you what you need to keep you covered. Our atonement is not a blood over a doorpost. It's not a chemical compound. It's the life that was in the blood.
And by that, we sit on the throne with him. So truly somewhere then, our transgressions are forgiven. And our sin is done away. I'm just trying to illustrate it. Under the bumper blood, there's no sin before God right now of anybody. But Brother Dale, they're all sinners out there. That's what you're looking at. The biggest sinners are sitting in here. And I don't mean just in this building. I'm talking about around the body of Jesus Christ is the biggest sinners there are. I said around the body. I didn't say in the body. Because you got people in this message that think they're so holy and pious. Oh, I never was lost. Well, you never will be saved. If you never know just lost, you'll never be saved. But of course, if you never was lost, then you're eternal God. See? But see, they're trying to preach the truth, but don't know how to preach the truth. Why not get into the Bible like I've been trying to cover what the prophet said? He said the bumper blood covered for everybody. He said that's why all babies go to heaven and die before the age of accountability. Because they're under the bumper blood. Well, see, a man don't go to hell right now. Where does he go? There's no burning hell now or anything like that. He goes into a place of hold. Where Wade was covering the other night of the dimensions, he goes to the fifth dimension, and it's a place of hold that keeps him there. And Brother Brown said it was just a falling place. He said actually a burning hell would be a pleasure. But it's not in hell as we used to teach. Oh, that old sinner, he's going to hell. I never will forget, we were standing out in front of my father-in-law's one time, and Peggy probably remembers this man across the house right next to it on Sunday, and we was over there having a dinner, doing something, I don't remember what it was, but this man was over there, you know, and he was cutting his grass. And Peggy's aunt, she said, boy, one of these days he'll die and go to hell for that. And I just said, turn around and walk off and keep your mouth shut, you know. I know better than to say one word because I'd get run out of the whole place. But see, that's what people think sin is. They think sin is drinking, gambling, running around women, stuff like that. They think that's sin. That's not sin. That's an attribute of unbelief. See, sin is when you disbelieve God. Like I said about Israel, you mean after all. Now, God is not going to come and die for them. Do you understand the setting I'm trying to make? He's not going to come and die for them in the tribulation tonight. He's going to reveal what he's done. But when he comes, he doesn't come screaming, you rotten bunch of sinners. Joseph never said that to his brothers, and the prophet used that as an example. Joseph broke down and said, you don't think that away. I'm not going to kill you. God had you to do that to preserve life. See, Jesus is going to tell those Jews through those two prophets, stop your mourning and the things because it's over. They'll be crying because they'll realize what happened. He said, he'll say, stop it because it's over. I'm here. I'm here to reveal myself to you, what I've done for you, not what I'm going to do. See, that's what everybody looks at. They look at what some, you know, something out in the future. We were listening last night where I was in 83. See, there's no future. You can't, don't try to repent of what you're going to do tomorrow. That's Catholic. What is that word for it, Sister Anna? Where you do novenas or what? Is that the word for it? You know. Where you can pay for something before you do it. I may have the words wrong, but you pay for something before you do it, you know. Right. See, then I could just pay and then just go out and cut Brother Dick's throat. And just, well, that sinner, I didn't sin. He forgave me before I done it. That's what they think. Don't ever get those thoughts in your mind like that. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's not here.
Right.
Worry about today.
Right.
And be set on believing it. But the psalmist said, whose transgression is forgiven.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not coming to them to tell them how bad they are. No more than Joseph told his brothers how bad they were. He's coming to show him what he's done. And only those who believe what he's done will accept what he's done for them, because then they'll accept a pardon. See, that is known as, now listen, you'll see what I'm driving at. See, the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first coming of Jesus Christ is the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church. That's your first coming in the Bible. You remember I keep saying that? There's three comings. One of these days you'll realize what I'm doing with it. The first coming is the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the denomination. What your prophet said. The second coming is he's coming to Israel in the 144,000. The third coming, which will finish it all up, is when he comes in the millennium. Now, see, then you can see then that every eye can see him in the millennium. See, we try to place, I'm just illustrating, we try to place that scripture. Every eye won't see him in the bride coming to Christ. Every eye, there'll be more eyes see him in the coming to Israel and through the two witnesses because of the internet system and the news and the stuff than the will in you and me, because they ain't going to pay no attention to you and me. Yet they're claiming to be part of what we are. That's how much you know about it. But you see, in the coming of Christ to Israel, that will be the second coming of Christ showing himself to Israel through them two prophets. And in the second coming of Christ, it's not to come to condemn. It's coming to reveal. Reveal that he has all ready, forgiven them.
Right.
And listen, here, I'm going to say this over and over and over. Why? Because in God is not going to come to Israel with sin. God can't come to Israel with sin. He would destroy him immediately if he came with that in mind. He's not coming to a bunch of sinners. As far as the world sees them, you and me and you would stand there looking at them, we'd call them sinners. But understand what I'm trying to say. Because I'm trying to talk about you and me. In the bride coming of Christ, just like it is to Israel, God is not going to come to you with sin. He can't stand in our presence. Well, then we say, let me get on over here where my notes are at. Then we say that the second or the coming of Christ to the bride has already come, because we say it's the shout. Come on, are we reading the scripture? Is that not what we teach? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You know that's not talking about Israel. It'll happen that way through two witnesses. But that's talking about me and you. We claim that the shout has already went forth, or the message, and that the Lord is here. What would be so hard to think of the times, how many times have I quoted this, where Brother Branham was talking to Brother Perry Green and said, Brother Perry, for one time in my life, I have no condemnation. Another time he said, one time in life, I have no unbelief. Do you mean, that's what tires me up, people saying that the Son of Man had to come and straighten Brother Branham out and a thing. What sin did God come to Brother Branham to straighten out when the seals broke to him? I mean his sin. Where did he come and condemn it? Where did he walk out there and say, I've been the most rotten, stinking sinner among you folks and I want to repent? Now the goodness of God is what leads everybody to repentance. But you see what I'm trying to get to? The coming of the Lord to Israel will not to be to pay the price. The coming of the Lord to Israel won't be to pay the price of redemption. It was paid at Calvary. It'll be to reveal to Israel. And they mourn for not the killing, but they mourn because he was killed. That's what your Old Testament's doing. See, the Lord has come to those who have received his word. That's why I'm like Brother Branham. I believe it. I'm not saying he's coming. If I'm saying the Lord's coming, then you know what I'm talking about. Come on. There is parts of the second coming that's got to be finished on a daily basis, and then we'll be a rapture and a meeting of the Lord in the air. Come on. But you know what I'm talking about is the truth. The revealing of the Word is the coming of the Lord. The message the prophet brought is the coming of the Lord. Now, if that's true, where's the sin?
Well, we're still doing it, Brother Dale.
Are you telling me that your carnal application of understanding is greater than God's revealed word? Now, is that hard enough to say it? Did you understand what I meant? Your carnal concept of saying, well, we're still sinning, so the Lord can't be here. You haven't listened to what I've said. God don't come to Israel to condemn them for their sin. He don't come to Israel to tell them they're sinners. He comes to Israel to tell them they're forgiven. If the prophet had been so messed up, God would have not come to him there in 63 to break the seals to him. But listen, he was the only man in the world that God could come to at that time.
Well, we are in the covenant of the Lord because he came in 63. Well, where was you at in 63? All right.
The coming of the Lord is to show you and I the price paid. Now, do we believe the prophet's message was the opening of the seals? Is that where it begun? Do we need to go through and prove that in the rapture message and things? He said not in the years of preparation, but said when he begins to sound his message. So the prophet's message begun in 63 in the opening of the seals and went on for about somewhere in a 3.5 year period there. That message came to show us that we can search the book back. Now, how many times have you heard me say this? The prophet said that when the seals broke, the Bible became a brand new book. Do you know what that means? Oh, yeah, I've talked to people that believe in two souls and thunders and virtues and everything. Oh, it become a new book. Now, you know what they're talking about. But has the book become new to you? New means eternal. So go after the seals broke and even read the titles of the sermons. Things that are to be, future home. Christ the mystery of God revealed. Who is this Melchizedek? Read even the titles of the sermons. The message went into eternal life. That's when the prophet said on the seal, I call you bride. Why? Because it was not to coming to kill again. The old opening of the seals didn't kill the bride. The opening of the seals killed our unbelief. Showed that God didn't have any. Now I can take the book and go all the way back. Like I used to tell you that, you know, the Dales may not have been on the Mayflower, but they got over here some way, and there's probably a bunch of them hanging by their neck. Because there wasn't nothing but a bunch of crooks sent over here. Well, I'm not joking about that. I'm trying to get you to see a home. My parents came over on the Mayflower. Well, that means your parents were crooks. Oh, boy, that'd be good to get out, wouldn't it? I can just see them northern people. You're calling my great-great-great-great-grandfather a crook. Well, you tell me he wouldn't. You think they put good people on them ships and sent them over here? I'd like to sell you some stock in the Brooklyn Bridge if you believe that. What I mean by that is to somebody on the Internet don't know what that means. That means if you're that far off and don't understand, we ain't nothing but a bunch of concoction over here. You can't run your lineage back and find anything good in it. The only lineage I want to run back is to Jesus Christ. By the opening of the seals, then I'm not searching the Dale lineage. I knew that was messed up before I ever heard the prophet. But through the prophet, I can search back and find out who I really am and where I came from. What's my purpose of being here? He won't come to you and me and then condemn us. Come on. He comes to show what has already happened. That's the greatest condemnation that there is. What kind of a condemnation would it be for you to expecting, Brother Collie would be expecting me to come to him and just beat him up because of something he done. And then I come in his presence and start talking about how good of a feller he is. He knows I know what he done, you know, you understand? But I'm not there beating him to death. But you know what that's doing? That's killing him. Because as a human, he wished I'd tell it. You know, as a human, he'd say, come on, come on, come on, come on, tell me off. And I'll try to explain it. I'll try to justify it, right? But instead of that, you just told him, don't even mention it. You don't even say nothing about it. You're talking about how fine a feller he is. See, you don't know how to preach, folks. I've tried my best to get people to see that. These preachers in this message don't know how to preach. All they preach is do's and don'ts, as I made that statement there the other day. When they said, men and brethren, in the book of Acts, what must we do to be saved? Brother Brown said, we tell them what to not do and what to do, you know. He said, they didn't ask that. They asked how to be saved. See, that's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Jesus never, when he came on the earth, come with a condemnation message like we think. He went to the sinners. That's what they got on to him about. Because he piled with sinners, they said. You know. But then he'd say, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now he wouldn't wishy-washy. He was straight. Like we say about that woman there, see, with those witnesses. If he couldn't have got rid of her witnesses, he'd had to said kill her, because that was the word. But when them witnesses got pricked in their heart and left, he said, where's your condemners? I don't have any. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Are you listening? See, the atonement is what God is looking at. That's why he says, Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin in Romans 4 and 8 that we was covering last week. Because the atonement has been made and he's looking at the atonement. Now those that turn down the atonement have got their own problems. Because to turn the love of God down, what are we? Oh, you think about a mean man. I remember when I first heard that, I saw the title of the sermon. I don't remember where we was at, but I was looking on the title of some tapes, and Brother Branham in 50-something there, he said, the meanest man I know. Boy, I grabbed that tape, and I went home, I put it on, and I thought, man, I mean, all day I was thinking about it, and all the time I was thinking, he's going to tell about Hitler and Mussolini and this one and that mean one and you know, Jesse James and all of the crooks we could think of in our day and on. I put on the tape and he started preaching. Oh boy, you going to tell it to me. After a while he said, you see, the meanest man I know is a man that turned down the blood of Jesus Christ. I thought, oh Lord, look what we've done. See, what God is doing now to you and I is trying to show us the price is paid.
Right.
Not going to be paid, but it was paid at Calvary. Well then, as I gave the quotes last week, then I guess I'm just free to do what I want to. He said, yes you are, go do what you want to. Well, that means, now see, here's good Baptist. Well, that means I can just live like the devil then. Now, that's once saved, always eternal security of the Baptist doctrine. And the prophet said there's no such thing. He said, if you'll come by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we'll talk about once saved, always saved. See, because with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to go out and live like the devil. The prophet over and over, listen to it. Run it on your computer and just look at how many times he talked about that the bride cannot sin because his seed remaineth in us. But then he'd turn around and make this statement. He said, see, there the bride's the only one that can sin. So that's why it says for sins. He said, because we're the only ones that can sin. That's why we got to give an account of the things we do to keep a slate clean, to keep it washed away. But that ain't going to keep us out of heaven. But see, that's why it's so hard to preach. Well, if it ain't going to keep me out of heaven, then I'll feel like the devil. I'm going to heaven anyway. See, that proves you ain't going. Your thoughts prove you're not going. Because as I said, what would be the thing to come to someone, you know, and they're expecting you to just tell them all, and you just hug their neck like Joseph did to his brothers, and then brag on them? If you hadn't done what you'd done, the world would be lost by now. So don't condemn yourself so much. Right? Is that what Joseph said? Like I said, boy, Reuben and walk around. You know, if we hadn't done what we'd done. No, they didn't do that. They were human mortals realizing a knife blade was all that separated them. Because in one split second, Joseph could have had every one of them stroke cut. And the rest of their life, they owed him their life. You think they throwed him in the pit? You wouldn't have never got him to throw him in the pit again. They would have given their lives for him at any given moment because they realized they had been pardoned. Church, why can't we realize that's what we are? Now listen. See, for quite a while I've been preaching on some things. I went back last night, we was listening. A few nights we've been listening to some of the things I preached in 83 there on the seventh seal. It reminded me of what I've been preaching. I haven't left the seals.
Because on that, I said, I'll show you. You want to go back and listen to the tape around 83? I said, I'll show you that I can preach the seventh seal to a congregation of people that even would have denominational people in it. And I said, they could get something out of what I say. Because now hasn't it struck the sixfold purpose of His coming? Now, you're listening? Is that not what your prophet said about Gabriel to Daniel? That there was a sixfold purpose in His coming? Well, hadn't you thought about the coming of the Lord? On those thoughts. See, everybody thinks on Daniel 70 weeks, it's just proving weeks and dates and times and this and that, and I believe this and I believe that and this. No. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's showing Christ in what He's done. Because the opening of the seals is to reveal Christ, not to reveal what is against us. It is to reveal that there is nothing against us. When them seals open, Brother Dale, I'll find out the things that God has... No. See. I wish we could get it through our dumb head sometimes that God don't have anything against us. If He did, He wouldn't reveal Himself to us. He wouldn't give us the new birth. Oh, I've heard people preaching, but I'll be glad when the Lord can be pleased to dwell in me. Now, I know where that is in adoption. But I thought when He gave you the new birth, He come and dwelled in you. Is that right? When He gave you the new birth, He was pleased to dwell in you. I thought we preached adoption like that, and then it would come to Mount of Transfiguration of hear ye Him. But what are we looking for? In the second coming of Christ to the bride, then, it's to show that our transgressions are gone. Or He wouldn't come to us. It's to show that our sin is, it's made an end. Right. Well, according to that then, Brother Dale, everybody gets a book and reads it. That's garbage can and you know better. Right. You see, you say, well, Brother Dale, why are you so hard and stern like that? Because somewhere somebody had that thought and that'll cut it off and they'll know exactly the Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Just exactly like it done in the prophet. When you think them thoughts and I say them words behind it, what do you think that's doing? There's where you're going to wind up being a sinner. There's your unbelief. When you think that and then I say something, oh, if Brother Branham would have said that. What's the difference in a dumb donkey saying it? Right? See, God does not come to you with sin in your life. Well, Brother Dale, I can't understand that. I just don't understand that there's the Lord. There's the Lord. Now He's come to see me. And I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. I've done wrong today. Yet He come to see me. Well, if He don't tell me something I've done, then why would He come to me? Why would He come to me? It's not that way. When He comes to you, it's to let you know there is nothing there. Well, I just can't understand that. Because the atonement is made. Now, that's not just bumper blood. If that bumper blood would keep the world from being destroyed, how much more is the life of Christ that was in the blood to come and live in the person?
Right. That's right.
Like I've tried to tell you, I was so thankful to God the day I found when the prophet, because being his pastor, sometimes you do things you don't want to do.
And it became a real relief to me one day when I found out that that prophet said, you don't turn people over to the devil. Because that's what everybody taught. Boy, you mess up, we just turn you over to the devil. Ain't nothing but fear. The prophet said, you turn them over to God, he turns them over to the devil. I said, thank you, God. Now I can go do what you tell me to do. Because like I've always tried to illustrate it, what if I turn Wade over to the devil here? Okay, folks, we're going to all turn him over to the devil. He's down at home praying. And he's saying, God, forgive me. And God forgives him. Now, where are we at? Say, he's about 10 minutes of praying ahead of us. And God forgives him. We're up here turning him over to the devil. Now, what would that be? That's where I thank God for the opening of the Word. Because then I know then that we could be right here saying, Lord, we give weight into your hand. We had 2 years ago. You go to work on him. And then him come walking in the door and say, Daddy, 10 minutes ago, I asked God to forgive me. I said, thank you, Lord, you work before we ask you. Come on, is that right? You see, church, I'm trying to get you and I to look at something. We talk about the seventh seal. Brother Branham on 555 of the seal book. He said, the seventh seal is the end of all things. And he gave a list of things that, you know, he said, when you see this, and you see this, and you see this, he said, it even ends the ushering in of the millennium. It's the end of this, the end of that, the end of this. I didn't know I knew I was going to preach on this, but when we put the tape on, the very tape we was on was the very one that was covering it in 83 to what I preached here on it. Sin has to be made an end somewhere. Romans 10:4 says Christ is the end of the law. Now, how was Christ the end of the law? Not tearing it up, burning it, annihilating it. How was Christ the end of the law? He said he came to magnify the law. He came to fulfill the law. How was he the end of the law? Because what he was the end of the law for righteousness. He ended a book of rules. And he made it a revelation in our heart. Don't you think that's a making the end of sin? Listen. Christ then is the seventh seal of the law. Would there be any problem with saying it that way? Because the seventh seal is the end of all things. See, his coming, the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. Right? And if he's come, then I wish I could nail that into every one of our heads. If he's come by the opening of the Word, then how could he be anything but grace? Because the law is magnified in Christ. It's established. It's made honorable. See, we Baptists used to preach, well, we're not under the law. Law ended at Calvary. Christ ended the law. We're not under the law anymore. That book of rules, no good anymore. The more do's and don'ts. Well, now you magnify the law where that it says that thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus said, if a man looks on a woman to lust after his heart, he's committed adultery already. That's magnified. It don't look like he annihilated it, does it? Looked like it was put into a different perspective. But listen, can you see what I'm talking about? The seventh seal is the end of all things. Because Christ is the end of all things. All things will be made new. It says Isaiah 65. I thought we were a new creature in Christ Jesus.
The prophet said, how can he impute sin over the token? Did the blood over the door protect the children of Israel? Is that right? The death angel couldn't go through and kill them, right? All right. Now, how about under the life of the blood? Right? Come on. Now watch. Then Romans 10 says Christ is the end of the law. Now, what was we talking about? What's the first one? To make an end of transgressions. Then we're now on making an end of sin. Romans 4 and 15, read it. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. See, that's why the Baptists taught it that way. The law is back there. There ain't no transgression. You know what the law turned out to be? Now, I know it's a revelation of Jesus Christ under the law, and I know it's God in letter form and all that. But you know what it was really doing? It was a record keeper. You ever thought about the law being a record keeper? That's why Jesus, the record was there. That prostitute was standing there. What was he going to do? What was he going to do? The law says, killer, what do you say? What did he get rid of? He got rid of the record. He said, come on, you cast the first stone. And every one of them was condemned in their heart and they turned around and left. He said, where's your record keeper? She said, I don't have any. He said, neither do I keep records against you either. Just make sure you don't sin anymore. Because put that together with other scriptures where he was talking about, he said, lest a worser thing come upon you. In other words, lest you'd be condemned and die. All right? Now, you getting what I'm saying? See, so where there's no law, there's no transgression. And Christ is the end of the law, so there's no transgression to the born-again believer. Now, the world, everybody that's not born again is still under the law. I don't care how much you scream and holler the law was done away at Calvary. It was only done away for the born-again believer at Calvary. The law wasn't done away for Israel at Calvary. You know what I'm saying? It was done away, but it wasn't applied to them. All right? See, now are you listening to what I'm saying? Where there's no law, there's no transgression. And if there's no transgression, there's no sin. Come on, is it right? Then it reveals, church, if the Lord has come to you and I through what we claim He's come by the opening of the message unto us, then there's no transgression. There's no sin. And I keep saying it because I know what people's minds are. Well, then I'll tell you what, if there's no sin, I'll just go live like the devil. Remember one thing that I taught years ago that I wish you would bury deep into your heart. If we don't forgive, if we don't ask for forgiveness, then we've got a problem. He that sins willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, what does the Bible say? There remaineth no more sacrifice. There's no sacrifice. There's sacrifices for all kind of things in the Bible, even to jealousies and all, you know, you got, but you know, there's no sacrifice for stupidity. Show me one. Sure, you got ignorance in the basis of, but ignorance is not stupidity. Ignorance is a lack of understanding. Stupidity is having understanding but won't follow in it. Okay? That may not be your definition, but that's what I'm thinking.
But church, do you see what I'm talking about? There's no sin, because if there's any sin, then God hasn't come to you and I. But if He's come to you and I through the opening of the Word, then how much more would we be to, like Brother Branham one time, he said, don't that make you feel like just going over in the corner and sitting down and crying? To mean to tell me, to tell you, Sister Gail, that somebody could tell you, you know, and really you could really fathom it all at once, that somebody could tell you, say, Gail Addison, from this second backward, there's nothing against you. None whatsoever. If we could fathom that, what would we do? Glory, hallelujah! No. I'm sorry. I don't want to bust your bubble. I just want to tell you like it is. That would start me to weeping. Because I'd realize somebody paid my price. Because if it's gone, somebody had to pay it. Somebody had to take care of it. Like I've told you about the man, you know, that killed the king's son. You remember? And then he went down to see him. Why did you kill my son? He said, well, I just, in a fit of rage, I just killed him. I'm sorry. So great a man and all that I would kill him of your son, and I'm just sorry. He thought he was going to die. But all at once, here comes somebody in. Get up. Get over here. Take a bath. Shave. Clean up. Here's a robe. Put it on. Put on these shoes. Put on all of this. And he could see it was royal garment. He thought, oh God, they're going to kill me in the garment of this man that I killed. They're going to make me die in it. But all at once, the doors opened. And the carpet was rolled out right to him. And the king standing at the end of it, and he's thinking, oh God, that king's going to kill me himself. But the king had already went out and said a word that meant more to me than I've ever heard anybody express it. But everybody expresses it, just do away the record. I think it goes further, at least to my understanding. Because when that king, he said, come. He said, you killed my son. I've done destroyed all the records. Now you're my son. Everybody said, oh, my records is gone, this is gone. Listen, I told you what I believe happened. That king never remembered of having a son. Because there stood his son. Come on, is that what he said? You killed my son. Now you're my son. Destroy all the records of my son. Because there stands my son. Not destroy the records of him killing my son. Destroy the records of my son. This man is my son. When that boy walked out of there, them guards and everything looked at him not as a prisoner that had been in jail and a murderer. They bowed to him and said, that's his son. He has the royal robe on. See, that's what God has done for you and I, church. He's destroyed all the record. We're his sons and daughters. There is no sin. He's not coming to do away with sin. He's coming to end time to reveal the atonement. Brother Branham, when he spoke, what was he doing? What was he doing on the seal and after the seal? Revealing the atonement to you and I. Showing us how righteous we are. See, everybody wants to beat you to death with it. Hey, you got to tell people the truth. Sure, you got to tell, you know, men and women, but most of us always, you got to tell the women how to dress and do, and you know, and they don't never mention the men. It's always just the women, right? Sure, you got to tell the truth, but why not tell the truth in love? Didn't Jesus say, if, let me rephrase the scripture, but to show you what it's saying, didn't Jesus say, if you love me, live like I am in you? He said, no, it didn't say that. It said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what did I just say? I amplified it to show you what he's talking about. He's saying, if you love me, let me come and live in you. Because, church, we're not nothing but just sinners saved by grace. We accepted the atonement, the pardon. We accepted what Jesus Christ has done for us. When I read the sealed book, I don't read it to try to find how dirty I am. I know what that is. You don't have to tell me what I am. I know what I am. But when are we ever going to stop realizing what we are and start saying what He says about us? See, then you come up again and you say, well, then I can just live like the devil. That's, if you live like the devil, you know whose child you are? You're a child of the devil. My wife knows this is the truth. I told her years ago, it's probably on tape here, I said, one day when you get there and you're going to be surprised maybe who's going to be there. Some of the ones that you think would never be there, I said, they'll be standing there. I said, in the end time, she'll verify this, I said, in the end time, some that have went away that people think have gone too far will come back to the truth. Is that right? You go find Don Ginn and ask him about it. Because he was one that I was talking about. Church, what I'm trying to tell you is God is not coming down in the end time to condemn, to beat us to death. And all. He's come down to reveal Himself. He's come down to not to reveal me and you, but to reveal Himself in us and show us how righteous we are. All the records are gone. It was searched all the way back and you can't find anything. Why? Because our sin is gone. He makes an end of sin. He's coming to reveal that He's made an end of sin. He's come to reveal to you and me that there is no more sin. Well, I just got so many problems. What was the little lady that spoke to Brother Branham about? She said, but I have so many troubles. He said, but God's not looking at that. God's not looking at your troubles. See, what I see about the whole mess of that is, it's just like I say about the way we are. By stripes I'm healed, bless God, I'm healed, I'm sealed, I'm quoting the Word. But the doctor said that I had this and I had that. Well, now somebody lied. Now you know who I'm talking about. The doctor didn't, because he's going by his medical science. God didn't lie, so who's the liar? When are we going to start saying what God says? We talk about what the doctor says, what this is and what that is, and what we do wrong and what others have done wrong and all kind of things. When are we going to start saying what God says? Neither do I condemn thee. I'm going to make that statement one more time, and I'm going to make it service after service. There is no such thing as God coming to you. If you say the coming of the Lord has transpired in the shout, that the shout has went forth and the Lord has descended with a shout, and you say that the Lord has come to me with a shout,
then you tell me that God come to condemn you. Show me where it was at in the Word. He come to reveal to you how righteous you are in Christ. In Christ, you're righteous. The day we go into change, sure, we're mortals and going to have problems until that time. Even God in human flesh had troubles. But he never did. He said one day, he said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You know where he was heading? When he said that, you know where he was heading? To Jerusalem. And he knew that he was going to die. But see, we don't even understand that. The devil didn't kill Jesus. No Roman spear didn't kill Jesus. No Jewish law put Jesus to death. He said, I'll lay down my life. And I'll take it again. But you see, we get it all mixed up in our carnalities. And you can bank on one thing for sure. Before the service is over, and you get out the door, and on the way home, the devil's going to start telling you how bad you are. Right? But why don't you one time say, Satan, I'm sorry for you. Because you're going to have to walk 1,000 years and listen to me praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you're going to be bound and you cannot do anything. And you're going to have to listen. That would be worse than hell to me. If I had to realize I had to spend 1,000 years listening to people praise God when I was the very one that tried to condemn everything. But do you see what I'm talking about? One more time. If the Lord has come to you, then he didn't come to condemn you of your sin. He come to tell you how righteous you are in Christ. And then you tell me, like Brother Branham said, he said, when I start to go overseas, he said, my wife don't grab me by the collar and say, well, now, William Branham, you're going over there and there's going to be women and everything and don't you do this. He said, I don't grab her and say, now I'm in my absence is going to be men and things. He said, we get together and we get down before the Lord and said, we commit it into the hands of the Lord. This is your prophet talking. You believe it? He said, but if I went over there and done something, he said, I believe my wife would forgive me. You ever heard him say that? But he said, how could I do anything knowing that? How can we go live like the devil knowing that God has forgiven us? Or to be so sin conscious in our lives until every second of the day, the prophet said, be prayed up. Come on, Brother Lord. Be prayed up at all times. Because I don't want no trouble when it comes down to the river. I don't want to have to tell him, hold off just a little bit, I got to go repent. I don't want that. I want to be ready, don't you? I want to stand there and say, Lord, come. Well, that's all John could do when he finished on Patmos. Even though, even all this trouble, even all these things that you told me to write about. He said, even though, come, Lord Jesus, let's stand. See, to make an end of sin. Because where there's no law, there's no transgression. There's no record keeper. There's no sin. Because Christ is the end of the law. The day you was born again, you died. Now you tell me my daddy died in 1945. You tell me they can condemn him for killing somebody today or doing anything wrong. No. because he's dead. Maybe we're not dead. Maybe that's our problem. We're just not dead. Maybe we need to die. Go ahead. 103 in the red book. Anybody has a need? To increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Right? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet breath. How? He'll heal your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment always? You must do. Anybody have a need? To be free from all on the altar of all you slay. If you're all on the altar, sacrifice. The closer we come to God, the more we realize what we are. That's why the cry of the bride of Christ, the prophet said, is forgiveness, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Well, you just preached that there wasn't nothing against us. That's through Christ. But me as a human mortal, I want to make sure everything clean. This prophet was a very prideful person, wasn't he? He was praying constantly about his own life. Daniel said, I was confessing my sins and the sins of my people. That sounds like the Bible where it says that those who sigh and cry for the abomination done in the city. If you're not brokenhearted about this people of this message, then there's something wrong with you. Just remember what you are. God made you. He made you what you are. So you're to thank Him for that. Thank God that He has revealed His Word. The altar is laid. Is your on the altar outside? Your heart, let the Spirit control. You cannot. Listen, church. If God has come to us through the revealed Word, then where can you find a transgression? Where can you find sin? Where will we be able to find iniquity that will get on? Oh, my soul, rejoice, joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet in your Father. You know the cry from our sister's heart and what she desires of you. So you speak to her, Lord. Father, let thy word have the preeminence in our sister's life. And Father, whatever she's asking for, we don't have to know. We know who the answer is. The answer is Jesus Christ. The only hope any of us has is in you, Lord. So we just ask you to come and speak to our sister, Father. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Oh, I love you. Do you? And I lift my voice. Anybody else that just have a need?
Worship.
Believe what God says. When are we going to believe what God says about us? In what? Yes, we. Jesus said one day, I think it's what, Matthew 5:48, that we all argued about it, organized religion all up and down, you know where it says there, that Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Brother Brown said, if God said it, it's a requirement. He said, but there ain't none of us can do that. But said if he required it, said he's got to come and make a way. And said he did. Through his own blood. See, we have a bleeding atonement. Beautiful of my life. Sing it unto him now. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was broken and strive, but he made something beautiful of my life. If David could believe in the Psalms and write, blessed is a man whose transgressions are gone. How much more should you and I realize through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the eternal covenant? It's not what we are, it's what he says we are. Broken. At least let us say what he says. Something beautiful. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we pray that you would just bless us as we go on our way home, Lord. That you would give safety to everybody, Lord. Give your love and understanding to all of us. Let the light of the gospel shine forth. Let us believe that you have come to us through the opening of the word, the shout that has been brought forth. And if you have, then there is no sin. There is no transgression. Because Christ is the end of the law. You've brought all things to an end. And an end is not a stopping point. An end is a new creation. A reborn condition. Born wrong, but then a rebirth. Made us a new creature. My whole life ended. No longer can I be condemned for what I've done because the record has been destroyed. And you said you put our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. And the man said, I read where there is no bottom in some of the ocean. Then there's no end of doing away with our sin. Father, we thank you and we love you. Bless everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. Let your love be with us in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. In Jesus' name.